Good morning. Just a few announcements before we get started. Today, we'd like to ask everyone to please clear the sanctuary as soon as the service is over, as the children need to come in immediately to practice for their RE Sunday. And as you may all know, our t-shirt sale is going on. It's happening now. And if you haven't already ordered your LCUUC logo t-shirt, please be sure to do it today. We only have until today to get enough orders so that we'll be able to make this happen.
Two more quick announcements. One, we are looking for a newsletter editor. So if you have basic skills and are willing to learn some more, catch up with me and I will be happy to get you in that position. And two, I need a group of strong and fearless individuals to help me get the stuff from our old haunted house out of Diane Erickson's barn. So if you are strong and fearless and potentially own a truck, catch up with me this week. Email me, call me, send me a passenger pigeon. Let me know that you want to help because we do need to get it out of there, and hopefully we can get it here in time for the rummage sale, so that we can sell the stuff we're not going to be using. We gather here today to celebrate all of the mothers and the others who loved us into being. We recognize the moms who did it so well and the moms who tried. We recognize the moms who were lucky we survived them at all. We recognize the stepmoms and the nanas, the grandmas and the aunts, the neighbor ladies who always took time to make every child their own. We celebrate the girlfriends and the partners without titles who love other women's children as their own. We celebrate the male moms and the dads who had to be mom because mom wasn't there. We celebrate the adoptive moms and the moms who put their child up for adoption. We celebrate the mothers of babies born still. We celebrate with joy those who are waiting for babies to arrive. And we hold close those who have never had or wanted children of their own, but who brightened the lives of every child they met. Today we celebrate them all. So come and let us worship here together. Please take just a moment to say hi or to introduce yourself to your nearest neighbor.
Please rise in body and spirit and join us in singing our opening hymn, number 346, Come Sing a Song with Me. Welcome to Lake Country Unitarian Universalist Church. At LCUUC, we work to surround this community with the spirit of love in everything we do. My name is Kelly, and I'm the worship associate for this morning's service. No matter who you are or where you've come from, you are welcome here. We welcome those of you who are mothers, who have mothers, or those of you who know a mother. LCUUC is a UUA-recognized welcoming congregation, which means we welcome and affirm all people, regardless of who they love or what pronouns they use. Please join us for refreshments and conversation in our social hall after the service, and while you are there, stop by the welcome table to find out more about LCUUC. Today's order of service includes announcements of upcoming church activities, and we look forward to you joining in. To stay current on services, events, and activities, please check our webpage at lcuuc.org and like and follow us on Facebook. Please use this moment to silence all electronics you may have with you here today. We are glad that you have chosen to spend this Mother's Day morning with us.
One of the ways that we help to love our community is by contributing to local food pantries, both financially and by collecting non-perishable food items, which we donate each month. So if you brought something to share, you're welcome to bring it forward now and put it in the basket, or you're welcome to have a child bring it forward for you. And I invite the children to stay up front and enjoy a story. Today's story is called You're Here for a Reason, and it's by Nancy Tillman. And we're reading it because we are so glad you're part of the world. We are so glad that your parents and your mom brought you into the world. So we want to share with you, you're here for a reason. And here's the first picture. What do you guys think? You're here for a reason. You certainly are. The world would be different without you by far, if not for your hands and your eyes and your feet. The world, like a puzzle, would be incomplete. Have any of you ever petted an elephant? We got one. What about flown a kite? All right, we have a few. Even the smallest of things that you do blossom and multiply far beyond you. I bet nobody ever took an elephant for a walk. Do you think the elephant would walk with you pretty well? No, no takers on that. A kindness, for instance, may triple for days or set things in motion in different ways. What's the elephant doing? What do you think? Maybe he's feeding the geese, or maybe he's just bringing them some pretty berries. Kindness travels much further than you'll ever know. Under the treetops, and over the snow, do you think a fox really could ride on a kite? No? Would you try to ride on a kite? I might try it if it was a big enough kite. Till the kindness wandered and fluttered. And floated Do you think weasels really ride in little boats? Yeah. And twirled, and the kindness made things happen all over the world. All right, who'd be brave enough to dance with a tiger? We got one?
Yeah.
We got some back there. All right. If it was a friendly tiger. You're here for a reason. It's totally true. You're part of a world that is counting on you. So don't be too worried if some days fall flat. Good things can happen even from that. It's a kangaroo playing kickball. Life can be tricky, there isn't a doubt. You'll skin your knees trying to figure it out. But life works together, the good and the bad, the silly and awful, the happy and sad, to paint a big picture we can't always see, a picture that needs you, most definitely. Remember that the next time a day goes all wrong. Could you push a giraffe up a hill? Would you want a giraffe as a pet? I think that would be kind of hard. August wants a giraffe for a pet. Do you think he's going to get that giraffe up that hill? Remember the next time a day goes all wrong, to somebody else, you will always be strong. Yeah, baby pandas. So even when you're having a bad day, somebody thinks you're pretty amazing and you're doing better than them. And that ball that you lose or a kite that you let go could make someone's day. You just never know. A bear with a teeter-totter using the ball that the boy lost and the ribbons from the kite that flew away. They look like they're having fun. You're here for a reason, and if you think that you're not, I would just say that perhaps you forgot. A piece of the world that is precious and dear would surely be missing if you were not here. If not for your smile and your laugh and your heart, this place we call home would be minus a part. Thank goodness you're here. Thank goodness times two. And they're all getting to play with the toys. Yeah. I don't know about a giraffe playing kickball. What do you guys think? That's an awful lot of legs to play kickball. I just can't imagine the world without you. And it's one last picture of the whole world. So I'm glad you're all here, and thanks to you, and thanks to your mom and your dad for making sure you were here. And thank you for listening to my story. So if I could have my chalice lighter. May the light and the love of our chalice lead you all today and every day. And if you all would follow our chalice, our lantern bearer here, and if the rest of you would help me in singing the children to their classroom, the song is called For You Shall Go Out, and the words are written in your order of service. A weary minister was out collecting pledges which had not come in, and he knocked on yet another door, fully expecting to have it slammed in his face. And sure enough, the woman who answered put down her toddler and angrily demanded that he leave once she figured out why he was there. And then she slammed the door. The door, however, bounced back open, and the woman shouted, "Get your foot out of my door!" "But ma'am," the minister said, and the woman slammed the door in his face again, and once again it bounced open. "But ma'am," the minister said, "don't talk back to me," the woman screamed. "I want you off my property." She slammed the door a fourth time, only to see it bounce open a fourth time. "Ma'am," the minister yelled as he beat a hasty retreat down the sidewalk. "You'll be able to close your door. Just move your kid out of the way." Think of the children. Donate through the plate. This morning's offering will now be given and received. Thank you all so much for all that you give for the life and the work of this community. This is the time in our service where we share our joys and our concerns together. Before the service, you're always welcome to silently light a candle up here at the candle table. But during the service, we light candles together and we speak aloud. So would anyone who has a joy or a concern to share this week, please raise your hand and one of the ushers will bring you a microphone.
Hi, this is Mark. I have two concerns. One, I have a good friend, Jeanette. Her husband, Ken, was hospitalized last night. He's home. They don't really know what quite happened. So still trying to figure that out. And my second concern is that I don't have anyone walking with me next Sunday for Saturday morning for NAMI, the National Alliance of Mental Illness. I know I'm a big guy, but last time I checked, one person is not a team. So if anyone wants to walk with me, I appreciate everyone who has contributed. Many have contributed, which is probably the more important thing. So thank you.
This is Chris. I would like to thank Doug and Nancy for working so hard on arranging Go in Peace. This song is written by a Texas singer-songwriter named Sam Baker, and he didn't get credit in the order of service, but he is an amazing, fascinating man. He often sings with Donna Grzelick's daughter, Carrie Elkin, and if you Google him, you'll find out all kinds of fascinating things about Sam Baker. But a thank you to Donna, or to Doug and Nancy, because they work so hard, and I love that song. They just did such an amazing job. So thank you.
Hi, this is John, and I have a joy to share. It's especially fitting on Mother's Day. The second of our two daughters-in-law has announced that she's going to be due in November.
Oh, marvelous.
Hi, I'm Barb. A candle of joy and candles of sorrows for mothers everywhere and those joys and sorrows they carry.
Hi, this is Scott. We have a joy, a concern, and a joy all with one candle. This last weekend, we celebrated my 9-year-old's first communion. A concern, 6 hours later, we were at Children's Hospital. He had a breathing tube and was in a coma. He hit his head while playing basketball and went into seizures. So about 3:30 in the morning, he woke up. He wasn't himself. He was really struggling at first. It took a day, and after that day went by, he woke up the next day and he was himself again. So that'd be our final joy. So that was our weekend. This is Jossie.
I guess I would just like to say my boyfriend is home alone on Mother's Day, and his mother actually passed away when he was 18. So it's been 7 years for him, and Mother's Day is always really hard. So I guess I would just like to send out a prayer for him because he's spending the day with our dog. So.
I'm Claire. Candle of concern for a good friend of mine from Edgewood College. His name is Adam Sagan. He, about 4 or 5 months ago, he was diagnosed with a really big cancer in his chest. He did chemotherapy, did a bunch of homeopathic stuff, and it seemed to keep it at bay. It's come back in full force, and he's doing more rounds of chemo, and I'm just hoping that it goes away and he's okay. Thanks.
This is Chris. I'm in the back. I have a joy. My mom is in Berlin, Germany today. She's from Berlin. She's visiting her sister and brother. And my Uncle Klaus is, he lives in assisted living. He has onset of dementia. But he recognized my mom, and that was an awesome Mother's Day gift, so.
Hi, this is Terry. Just want to say how happy I am for my mom today after two hip surgeries and being in pain for several years before that. She's walking completely on her own, no cane, no walker. It's really fabulous.
Hi, my name is Heather, Candle of Joy, that I'm having a good week after a week of chemo, that I get to spend the day with my amazing mother and my dear friend who flew in from Colorado. So definitely joyful.
I have a joy. My brother and his wife are sitting behind me, and they came to church with me and my mom today, and it's a great joy. They're from Michigan, so they're just here for the weekend. And I have joy and concern with my daughter. She's leaving Tuesday. She's going by herself, and she's traveling around the world making her way. She's saved. She finished her degree, and she's off to... And so, you know, you can imagine, you know. So I, you know, concern if you could send out prayers for her that she's safe. Thank you.
Hi, this is Sarah. I have two joys. The first joy is that Ted's mother, Dorothy, is able to be here to spend Mother's Day with us. It's always great having her in town. And the second joy is that after this, I get to see my mother for brunch.
And we light our last candle today for all of those joys and all of those sorrows that we hold so deeply, but which we have not mentioned aloud here today. Our first reading today comes from a one-page broadside that was published in Boston on September 1870, just after the American Civil War and during the war in Europe.
The author is Julia Ward Howe, noted author, poet, and activist of the 19th century.
This proclamation was intended to establish a Mother's Day of peace in the world. Sadly, the idea didn't catch on at first.
Today we celebrate Mother's Day, a day not typically seen as a politically charged holiday, but in 1870 things were more radical. We have retained Julia Ward Howe's original language in this Mother's Day of Peace proclamation.
Again, in the sight of the Christian world, have the skill and power of two great nations exhausted themselves in mutual murder.
Again, have the sacred questions of international justice been committed to the fatal mediation of military weapons?
In this day of progress, in this century of light, the ambition of rulers has been allowed to barter the dear interests of domestic life for the bloody exchanges of the battlefield. Thus men have done, and thus men will do.
But women need no longer be made a party to proceedings which fill the globe with grief and horror. Despite the assumptions of physical force, the mother has a sacred and commanding word to say to the sons who owe their life to her suffering. That word should now be heard and answered to as never before.
Arise then, Christian women of this day. Arise all women who have hearts, whether your baptism be that of water or of tears.
We will not have great questions decided by irrelevant agencies. Our husbands shall not come to us reeking with carnage for caresses and applause. Our sons shall not be taken from us to unlearn all that we have been able to teach them of charity, mercy, and patience.
We, women of one country, will be too tender to those of another country to allow our sons to be trained to injure theirs. From the bosom of the devastated earth, a voice goes up with our own, and it says,
"Disarm, disarm. The sword of murder is not the balance of justice.
Blood does not wipe out dishonor, nor violence vindicate possession. As men have often forsaken the plow and the anvil at the summons of war, let women now leave all that may be left at home for a great and earnest day of counsel.
Let them meet first, as women, to bewail and commemorate the dead.
Let them then solemnly take counsel with each other as to the means whereby the great human family can live in peace. Man as the brother of man, each bearing after his own kind the sacred impress, not of Caesar, but of God.
In the name of womanhood and of humanity, I earnestly ask that a General Congress of Women, without limit of nationality, may be appointed and held at some place deemed most convenient, and at the earliest period consistent with its objects, to promote the alliance of the different nations, the amicable statement of international questions, the great and general interests of peace." Here ends the first reading.
Please join me in a silent moment of meditation or the spirit of prayer.
Our second reading is by Amanda Palmer. It's a song she wrote called A Mother's Confession. Our son is 4 months old. His name is Anthony, or Ash for short, and he's too small to do things by himself. We were in L.A. over Christmas in a rental, and we jury-rigged a place to change his diapers on a shelf. I was peeing in the bathroom, and I'd left him for a second because I thought he couldn't move and he was safe. As I came out, I saw him falling in slow motion to the floor. It was probably the worst moment of my life. And then I accidentally stole a thing of chapstick from the Safeway. I didn't see it till I got out into the car. I would have usually returned it, but I was overwhelmed and was late to take the baby to my cousin's, which was far away. In my defense, I bought $87 worth of groceries, and the chapstick was just $1.99. I know it wasn't the right thing to use my newborn child as an excuse, but it felt like a real reason at the time. And as I pulled out of the parking lot, I cried. And as I pulled onto the highway, I said, "Right. At least the baby didn't die, right? At least the baby didn't die." And then we went to Sarasota to see Nell's cousin, Helen, for her birthday. She had just turned 99. We were there also for Sydney, who was 94 2 days before, but he was sick, so mostly it was Ash and Helen time. She survived the Warsaw Ghetto, and she always says, "I love you," when she sees you, because she knows you never know. She worked 4 months when I was pregnant on a gorgeous handmade blanket, her almost 400-year-old hands crocheting every row. I'd been emailing her pictures of the baby and the blanket every day since she had sent it in the mail, but they were someone else's knitting, and she was really nice about it. Then I went to the shop and shoplifted a pair of stupid sunglasses from Goodwill. They were on my head. I tried them on and left them there. But that's really not bad compared to when we left the baby in the car. At least it wasn't for very long, and not directly in the sun. And thank God no one walking by happened to notice what we'd done. I'm even scared to put these lyrics in a song. But everything is relative and everyone's related, and I can't do much right now but take care of this baby. I figure everything's technically all right, at least if this baby doesn't die. I'd also like his dad alive, so honey, careful when you drive. And then I took a plane to Washington alone so I could visit Jason Weebly, who's his godfather. He's playing the accordion. I couldn't wait to see him and share tales of my disasters over dinners in his houseboat when I saw I'd lost my passport. So I got a rush appointment to the place where you replace them, and I drove the baby in, and on the way I got a speeding ticket. When the cop came to the window, I was shaking, and I said, I'm sorry, but you couldn't hear me. That's how loud the sound of screaming was, because he was hungry, and I think I was speeding because I panic when I hear him cry. My God, what kind of a mother am I? And as I pulled out of the breakdown lane, I cried. And I pulled out on the highway, I said, right. At least the baby didn't die, right? At least the baby didn't die. While I was waiting for my passport, I was hungry, so I twittered a good coffee house in the neighborhood. And there I saw a woman who was sitting at the bar. And it was noon, and she was drinking. And she called across the diner at me, how old is your baby? And she smiled at us nursing. She said she had a daughter who was grown. And then she paused and said she also had a son. And when I'd paid and was about to leave, I picked up and crossed the room and touched her sleeve. I said, this baby wanted to say hi. And she held him tight and she started to cry. And I'm sorry that this song has gotten so long and that everybody's crying in this song. And as I got back into the car, I turned the radio and heater on and sat there with the baby in the back. And as they were talking about Syria and climate change and ISIS and the candidate's position on Iraq, I feel so useless in this universe. I know I could be doing worse. I'm trying hard to stay at peace inside. I know it's hard to be a parent, but my flaws are so gigantic. I wonder if I should have had a child. And as I pulled out of the parking lot, I cried. And as I pulled out on the highway, I said, right. At least the baby didn't die. At least the baby didn't die, right? I may not make it to the passport place on time, but at least the baby didn't die. And they might suspend my license for a while, but at least the baby didn't die. And I might get caught for retroactive theft, but at least the baby didn't die. And I might get turned into the DSS, but at least the baby didn't die. Here ends the second reading. Please rise in body and spirit and join in singing number 1012, When I Am Frightened. That's the Teal hymnal.
No matter how you look at it right now, our country is in the midst of a terrible struggle. Wealth inequality in the U.S. by 2014 was at its most extreme point since just before the start of the Great Depression in 1929. Now in 2016, even the 1% are being left behind by the 0.01%. In 2010, the top 5% of the wealthiest households had approximately 72% of the financial worth in our country, while the bottom 80% had 5% of the wealth, and it's gotten worse since then. The Center for American Progress reported in September of 2014 that the trends in rising inequality are striking when measured by actual wealth. Among the top 20% of families by net worth, average worth increased by 120% between 83 and 2010, while the middle 20% saw their wealth increase by about 13%, and the bottom fifth of families all of a sudden saw their debt exceed their assets. Homeowners on the bottom one-fourth of wealth lost an astounding 94% of their wealth between 07 and 10. Racial inequality isn't much better. Here in the Milwaukee area, over 50% of black men in their 30s have been or are in jail, highest rate in the nation. 75% to 85% of those jailed are for nonviolent drug-related offenses. We apparently didn't end slavery up here in Milwaukee. We just call it something different now. And, of course, there's a presidential election coming up, and at times I'm not sure if I should be spending my time writing sermons or saying forget it and building a bunker under the church stocked with food in case America becomes great again and we all need to hide for the next 8 years or so. And in the midst of all this, we have a holiday that some people treat as nothing more than a Hallmark moment. Send Mom some flowers, get her a chrysanthemum, get her a box of candy, even take her to lunch. Maybe spend the afternoon reminiscing a bit about all the great times you had as a kid, all the goofy stuff you did. It's a lovely sentimental holiday, Mother's Day. And I've been thinking about Mother's Day a lot, especially over the last month or so, as our local cluster of UU churches began working with the Coalition for Justice, and especially with Maria Hamilton, the mother of Dontre Hamilton. Dontre was killed in Milwaukee's Red Arrow Park on April 30th of 2014 by Officer Christopher Manny. Dontre was shot 14 times. And his mom could be vengeful. She could be. I would understand it. I would understand it if she was calling for riots and violence in her son's name. But the thing is, she's not. Maria Hamilton is being the mom that she always was. She's being there for her son, even after he's gone, in ways that would have modeled for Dontre the concepts of strength and dignity and grace, even in the face of the absolute worst. She's calling for peace. She's calling for all people to matter, for all lives to matter, for black lives to matter, for all mothers' sons to matter. And Julia Ward Howe, the author of our first reading, would have loved her. I think they would have had an instant bond. Julia Ward Howe said, "Arise, all women who have hearts." No matter what your baptism is, it doesn't matter if you're Christian or not Christian. And say, we will not have the great questions decided by irrelevant agencies. Our husbands will not come to us reeking with carnage for us to hug them and applaud what they've done on a battlefield. Our sons won't be taken from us to unlearn everything we've been able to teach them about charity and mercy and patience. We, the women of this country, the mothers of these sons and these daughters and these children, will care too much about those of another country to allow our sons, our children, to get trained to hurt your children. From the bosom of the devastated earth, a voice goes up with ours, and it says, put it down. Put down the guns. Put down the violence. Disarm. Disarm. The sword of murder is not the balance of justice. People matter. Lives matter. Mother's Day started out as that call to peace. It started as the plea of every person who has ever loved a child. Let there be a world where my child can be safe. Let there be a world where my child doesn't get told to kill your child. Let there be a world where they can't even learn that. Don't make my child hurt others. Let me be a mother of courage so that my child doesn't become a memory in ashes and dust. This is so far beyond being a Lifetime original movie Hallmark glurge moment. Many moms, many dads who are also serving as moms would do the same for any of their children. Biological, adoptive, it doesn't matter. They would give their life for their children. For those moms of any gender who love their kids to the moon and back, who got it right and get it wrong and always do it with love, even when they screw it up, we remember and we salute you today. Maybe you baked the best cookies or told the best jokes. Maybe you always knew how to make sure the money stretched just far enough. Maybe you knew when to be there for a crying teenager or a scared young adult. And maybe you just were and are flat out awesome as a parent in every possible way. Happy Mother's Day. But not all of us had that mom. Admittedly, not all of us had the mom who would have called for peace, even though they would have died for us. Some of us never met our mothers. Some of them died or went away when we were born or soon after. Some of them ran away. Some of them wanted to come back and just couldn't. Some of them didn't want to come back. Some of us were raised by amazing stepmothers, by girlfriends and grandmas and nanas who never got to get called mommy. Some of us grew up with an auntie or a foster mother or a big sister or brother just doing the best they could. Some of us had nobody, but maybe a favorite teacher or a librarian or the lady down the street. And some of us are that auntie or that girlfriend or that lady down the street. Mother's Day is for you too. For all the mothers who are not called mother. For all the mothers who gave a child up for adoption. For all the mothers of children born still and the moms who lost their only child and don't know what to call themselves these days. You count too. Happy Mother's Day. For some people, this day is an amazing chance to honor whatever incredible person filled the mothering role in their life. But for others, the day isn't so good. Reverend Dr. Becky Edmonston Lang writes, if your relationship with your mother was not loving, if it was fraught with abuse or neglect, if she abandoned you as a child, or if she just failed you miserably, Mother's Day can strike you as a painful charade. Or if you lost your mom at an early age, or if you are still actively grieving a beloved mother's recent death, Mother's Day can be so sad. The feelings and associations evoked by the word mother are not the same for everyone, and it isn't always celebratory. And for those who are mothers themselves, how you're feeling about your children or the state of your life in general can color your experience. How many of you have ever thought, at least the baby didn't die? I may have screwed it all up today. But we made it. We made it another day. I know when I had three teenage boys in the house, there were a lot of times I thought, at least I didn't kill them today. There were some days it was very close. For all of you that are hurting, this day is also yours. May we hold you and support you and love you. May we love the you that was birthed into being. May we honor that. And it's a delicate task to hold in tension all of these pieces that make up one day. A political call to work for peace, a celebration of those who mothered us well, no matter who they were, a recognition of those of us who have lost or never had such mothering. And research on the subject makes it even more challenging, if not horrific. See, I went looking for resources for today, and I regretted it rapidly. I was absolutely aghast at how many I found that basically said it was or should be my entire purpose in life to gestate small humans so that they could tell me they loved me and hand me macaroni necklaces and grubby handmade cards on the second Sunday in May. My entire role as a female-bodied individual. And I'm sure you've all seen these. The word for mother is love. God couldn't be everywhere, so he made mothers. Mothers are our guardian angels. There's actually a hideous one out there on Godvine called Mother's Maintenance Manual, as if we are all Ford pickups. And I'm going to quote from this thing. Many of us take better care of our cars than we do our mothers, and we only expect our cars to last 5 or 6 years. Maybe we need a maintenance manual for mothers so we know how to take care of them at least as well as we do our automobiles. A mother's engine is one of the most dependable kinds you can find. She can reach top speed at a single cry from a child. But regular brakes are needed. Mothers need a hot bath and a nap every 100 miles, a babysitter and a night out every 1,000, and a live-in babysitter with 1 week vacation every 10,000 miles. Mother's batteries should be recharged regularly. Handmade items, notes, unexpected hugs and kisses, frequent I love yous do just fine for this. When a mother's carburetor floods, it should be treated immediately with Kleenex. She uses her brakes to slow down often and comes to a full stop occasionally. A squeaking sound indicates a need for rest. Most mothers run indefinitely on coffee, leftovers, and salads, but an occasional dinner will really add to her efficiency. Mothers run best when their bodies are properly maintained. Regular exercise should be encouraged and provided for as necessary. A change in hairdo or makeup are helpful. If you notice the chassis begins to sag, immediately start her a program of walking, jogging, and swimming. Mothers need regular tune-ups. Compliments are the best and cheapest way to keep her effective. And if these instructions are followed consistently, this fantastic creation and gift from God that we call mother should last a lifetime and give good service to those who need her most. Let me let you in on a little secret. Mothers aren't angels, guardian or fallen. They're people. And that makes everything they manage to do so much more incredible. So for every mom who has been thrown up on for 3 straight days of the flu by 2 children under the age of 4, we pray. For every mom who has worked extra shifts, went back to school, took a job she hated, gave up a job she loved, all for the love of a child, we pray. For every mom who did her best, whatever that means, we pray. For every mom who got it absolutely perfect, but her kids had problems anyway and there was nothing she could do, we pray. For every mom who sat through the measles and the mumps and the chicken pox through parent-teacher nights and Boxwood derbies, we pray. For those who prayed for peace, and for those who prayed because they could find no peace, we pray. For all the ones who got it wrong, for all the ones who got it right, we pray. For all of the mothers and all of the others who loved us into being and who we loved into being, we pray. Happy Mother's Day. Amen. We have just a moment to do a brief polylog, so if you would like to speak or make a comment, please raise your hand and an usher will bring you a microphone. No brave souls today, huh?
Well, the talker Diane will start out. My mother lived to be 102 years old. She had her mind fully intact. She was not a loving mother, and I had no siblings. My dad was wonderful, but he died 30 years before she did. But in her later years, she finally learned to say, I love you.
This is Eric. I have a question. Should I get more chrome plating for my mother? Would that help?
Yes. And running lights. Okay. If we have no one else,
please rise in body and spirit and join in singing our closing hymn, number 409, Sleep, My Child. In peace and love, and celebrate the mothers and others who loved you into being. Peace, and may it be so.